We've seen the problems in education and justice, but there's a deeper crisis. Most people don't even understand what AI is doing in their lives. Maya, you've been tracking public comprehension levels, and the numbers are staggering.
Staggering is an understatement. We surveyed 2,000 adults last month. 78% couldn't explain how their social media feed gets personalized. They think it's random or chronological. Meanwhile, algorithms are literally shaping their worldview every single day.
And that's just social media. What about the algorithms making decisions about their loans, their healthcare, their job applications?
Complete black box. I had a woman break down crying in our community workshop last week because she finally understood why she kept getting rejected for apartments. She thought it was personal bias, but it was an automated screening system flagging her zip code from 10 years ago.
This is why I pivoted from classroom teaching to community media literacy. The misinformation crisis isn't just about fake news. It's about people not understanding the systems controlling their information diet.
Miguel, you're seeing this firsthand. What are the biggest gaps?
The biggest gap, people don't know what questions to ask. They see a video, they share it, they never think, could this be AI generated? The UNESCO report on deepfakes calls it a crisis of knowing. We've lost our ability to verify reality.
I'm seeing this daily at the library. People come in asking for help with everything from setting up smartphones to understanding why their insurance claim was denied by an AI system. But here's what kills me. The companies deliberately make this stuff incomprehensible.
Deliberately is the key word. This isn't accidental complexity. When I dig into these systems, there are layers upon layers of obfuscation. Technical jargon, buried documentation, terms of service that would take a PhD to decode.
As someone who's been covering tech for 15 years, I can confirm the obfuscation is strategic. I've sat in meetings where executives explicitly discussed making systems too complex for average users to question.
Nadia, that's a massive claim. Can you elaborate?
I was covering a fintech company developing credit scoring algorithms. Their internal documents, which I obtained through a source, included a section on complexity as a shield. They literally wrote that if users can't understand the system, they can't challenge it.
You know what frustrates me as someone in their 70s who's worked in tech? We used to build systems that empowered users. Now we build systems that mystify them. My generation pioneered user-friendly design, and now my peers can't even understand their own medical portals.
Patricia, that generational perspective is crucial. You've seen the shift happen.
The shift was gradual, then sudden. In the 90s, we focused on making computers accessible, the whole user-friendly movement. Then somewhere around 2010, that philosophy flipped. Suddenly the goal became engagement, not understanding. And that's created what I call learned helplessness. People just accept that they won't understand these systems, they click agree without reading, they assume the algorithm knows best. It's digital feudalism. We're all serfs who don't understand the rules governing our lives.
The deepfake crisis perfectly illustrates this. Last month, a video circulated in our community showing our mayor saying inflammatory things. Completely AI generated, but it took 3 days for anyone to question it. 3 days of real-world damage because people lack basic detection skills.
We tried to address this at the library. Set up a Spot the AI workshop. You know what people said? It's too hard. I give up. They'd rather stay ignorant than feel stupid trying to learn.
That's heartbreaking. How do we break through that barrier?
We start with concepts, not tools. Instead of teaching people to use ChatGPT, we teach them how AI thinks. Pattern recognition, probability, training data, but using everyday analogies they can grasp.
Analogies are key. I found success explaining recommendation algorithms like this. Imagine a friend who only tells you stories they think you'll like, never challenging stories. Eventually, your worldview shrinks. People get that.
My Bridge Club loves when I explain AI bias using recipe cards. If you only train a chef on Italian recipes, they'll think all food should have tomatoes. Simple, but it clicks.
These frameworks are brilliant, but we're up against massive systemic barriers. Luis, what are you seeing in terms of accessibility?
Language is a huge barrier. Most AI literacy resources are in English, college-level English at that. We serve a community that's 60% Spanish-speaking. Try explaining large language models to someone who's still learning English.
And cultural barriers. Many of my workshop participants come from countries where questioning authority is dangerous. Teaching them to critically examine AI systems means overcoming deep-seated survival instincts.
Which brings us to the core tension. We're asking people to question systems designed to be unquestionable. It's like teaching fish to analyze water. The environment is so pervasive, they can't see it.
Let's dig into specific domains. Nadia, you've been investigating workplace AI. What's happening there?
Automated management is exploding, but workers have no idea. I interviewed delivery drivers who didn't know their routes were AI optimized, warehouse workers who didn't realize AI was tracking their movements, even office workers unaware that AI was analyzing their emails for sentiment.
My granddaughter discovered her performance reviews were partially AI generated. She only found out because of a glitch that left template markers in the text. Her manager didn't even know the system was doing this. This is where critical thinking frameworks become essential. We need to teach people to ask, who built this system? What data trained it? Who profits from its decisions? Who's harmed?
But those questions require a baseline understanding people don't have. I spend half my workshops just explaining what an algorithm is. Not the technical details, just the concept that it's a set of rules making decisions.
Here's what works in my experience. Start with their pain points. Someone frustrated with job rejections? That's your entry to explaining hiring algorithms. Confused by insurance denials? Perfect opening for healthcare AI discussion.
That's pragmatic. Meet people where they are. But what about the bigger picture? The civic implications?
The civic space is where literacy gaps become truly dangerous. AI systems are being deployed in voting systems, benefit determinations, policing, and citizens have no framework to evaluate or challenge these systems.
I covered a story about facial recognition wrongfully flagging someone as a benefits fraud. They spent months trying to clear their name, not understanding that an algorithm, not a person, had made the initial determination.
This reminds me of the early days of credit scores, opaque systems making life-changing decisions. But at least credit scores had some regulatory oversight. AI systems operate in a complete vacuum.
The regulatory vacuum makes literacy even more critical. If the government won't protect people, they need to protect themselves through understanding.
But understanding requires more than individual effort. Luis, you mentioned community approaches.
Community learning is key. People are less intimidated learning alongside neighbors. We do AI cafes, informal gatherings where people share their AI encounters and we decode them together.
That peer learning model is powerful. When someone realizes their neighbor is struggling with the same algorithmic mysteries, it shifts from personal failing to systemic issue.
I've seen similar success with algorithm clubs, like book clubs, but for dissecting AI systems affecting their lives. One group mapped out their entire digital ecosystem and identified 47 different AI touchpoints in a typical day.
47? That's conservative. My morning alone involves AI in my alarm app, weather forecast, news feed, medication reminder, and coffee maker. And I'm supposedly not tech savvy.
This ubiquity makes the literacy challenge even more urgent. Miguel, how do we
Scaling requires meeting people where they already gather. Churches, community centers, laundromats. Embed AI literacy into existing structures rather than creating new ones.
And make it immediately relevant. Our most successful workshop wasn't called AI literacy. It was, why does Facebook show me these ads? Practical hook, deeper learning.
The challenge is that effective AI literacy threatens powerful interests. Teaching people to question algorithmic authority disrupts business models built on passive consumption.
Which is why we're seeing pushback. I've documented cases of platforms changing their interfaces specifically to obscure algorithmic influence. Harder to question what you can't see.
That's insidious. Patricia, from your historical perspective, have we seen this pattern before?
Every major technological shift involves a literacy crisis. Radio, television, internet, each required new critical frameworks. But AI is different because it's invisible and adaptive. It learns to hide better. Exactly. Traditional media literacy taught people to question sources. AI literacy must teach people to question the entire information environment, including what they're not seeing.
The filter bubble effect. People don't realize AI isn't just feeding them information. It's hiding information. That absence is harder to spot than presence.
So how do we make the invisible visible?
Concrete exercises help. We do algorithm audits where people search the same term and compare results. The differences shock them into awareness.
I use reverse engineering exercises. Take an AI decision, like a loan denial, and work backwards to identify possible factors. It's detective work that builds critical thinking.
But we need to acknowledge the emotional component. Learning you've been manipulated by systems you trusted triggers real grief and anger. Literacy work is also emotional work. That's why my approach includes AI therapy sessions, safe spaces to process the feeling of betrayal when you realize these systems aren't neutral helpers but profit-driven machines.
The psychological impact is huge. Miguel, how do you handle resistance?
Resistance often comes from overwhelm. People shut down when they grasp the full scope. So I focus on small wins. One system understood, one decision questioned. Build confidence gradually.
And celebrate skepticism. When someone says, "Wait, why did it recommend that?" we literally applaud. Transform doubt from weakness to strength.
This gets to worldview shifts. We're not just teaching technical concepts, but cultivating a fundamentally different relationship with technology. From passive consumption to active interrogation.
Which requires admitting our own ignorance. I've been covering AI for years and still discover new ways I'm being influenced. Humility is part of the curriculum.
That vulnerability is powerful. Patricia, how do you model that?
I share my mistakes publicly. Like when I fell for an AI-generated photo of my deceased husband, showing that anyone can be fooled removes shame from the learning process. And shame is the enemy of literacy. People won't learn if they feel stupid for not already knowing. We must create brave spaces for admitting confusion.
This is why I ban tech jargon in my workshops. If you can't explain it in plain language, you don't really understand it. That goes for teachers, too.
The anti-jargon rule is crucial. Luis, what other ground rules work?
No question is stupid is essential. Also, lived experience is expertise. Someone navigating AI systems daily has insights academics might miss.
I'd add, follow the money. Every AI system exists to profit someone, understanding who helps decode why it works how it does.
These frameworks, emotional safety, plain language, economic analysis, they're building blocks for critical AI consciousness. Not just individual skills, but collective resistance.
Collective resistance, that's a powerful frame. Where do we go from here?
We build intergenerational alliances. Young people have tech fluency, older people have historical context. Together, we're formidable.
And we document everything. Create public archives of AI experiences, building collective memory and pattern recognition.
Most importantly, we stay angry. Anger at obfuscation, at manipulation, at digital feudalism, that anger fuels the work.
But channel anger into action. Every person who learns to question an algorithm is a small revolution. Every literacy workshop is an act of resistance.
The stakes couldn't be higher. We're fighting for the possibility of informed consent in the digital age. Without AI literacy, there is no meaningful choice.
That's our rallying cry, then. Not just understanding AI, but reclaiming agency in an algorithmic world. The investigation continues next week as we dive deeper into healthcare algorithms. Until then, keep questioning, keep learning, and keep fighting for transparency in the systems that shape our lives.